This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We've been bringing you up to date with a variety of folks in the world of sports, whether it's our local teams or local connections. And our next guest is a guy that Braves fans know very well, and obviously Atlanta knows well, and Tom Glavin. 305 wins in his career, the MVP of the 95 World Series. He's a Hall of Famer. And, Tom, it's good to have you back on the show. I wish it was better circumstances, and we were talking about an actual opening day with the Braves tomorrow, which was scheduled to happen at Truist Park, but that's not the case. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. I hope you guys are too. But yeah, it's a crazy world. I mean, I think it's one of those things that I think we're all adjusting to. I think we're all kind of figuring some things out in our life that, you know what, maybe I can do without doing that, or I can do without that, or what have you. But I think at the end of the day, we all are chomping at the bit for the day where life gets back to normal and we can watch our sports and watch our teams. And you know, certainly for Braves fans, even more so. I think, you know, this is the year that all of us were excited about and looking forward to, and hopefully we're going to see before it's all said and done. But like you said, it's not going to be tomorrow, but hopefully it's going to be sometime in the not-too-distant future we get to watch this team play a little bit.
Right. And how, by the way, what are you doing? I mean, are you hanging out? Are you chipping golf balls? What are you up to?
A little bit of all that, yeah. So we, you know, we ended up, we've got a house down in Florida. So we came down to Florida and we've kind of been hunkered down here and, you know, kind of doing, I think, what everybody does. You get out, you try to walk a little bit, you walk the dogs, you take the kids for a walk, or you, you know, go outside and throw the baseball around a little bit, or football, or whatever, and practice the whole social distancing thing. And, you know, really, like I said, it kind of forces you, which I think everybody has done, to kind of reevaluate what we all do in our lives and what's important. And I guess the plus side is, you know, for me anyway, and I think for a lot of people, this is a time of year where, you know, my kids are older, so they're off at college. I don't get to see them much this time of year. So to have them in the house with us for an extended period of time is not something we get to do a whole lot anymore. So that part of it has been nice, having the kids around, but it's still a big change, and I think everybody is while we're all cognizant of what's going on and trying to do our part, I think we're all kind of, you know, looking forward, obviously, to the day where things get back to normal.
Tom, as a guy who pitched, you know, as long as you did, tell our listeners, if you would, how long do you think it would have to take for guys to be ready to play if we were to say, all right, next week we can start? And we finally get that date, because this right. idea of going back to spring training, or at least having 2 weeks leading up to the start of the season as a pitcher, because really the spring training is for you guys to get your arms going and stretch those arms out. Do you need that?
You know, it's a good question. And you know, here's kind of where I kind of look at it. And I'm not saying I have the answers, but here's kind of how I look at it. So I think the longer it goes, obviously, then the longer you're going to have for some kind of spring training to come back. Because you're getting to the point now where, you know, they've been out a little while. And let's assume that even April 30th, the country gets back to normal. Now you're looking at 6 weeks where guys have had it shut down. And that's kind of getting to that point where maybe you could get away with a shortened spring training, like a 3-week spring training or something like that. But there are so many variables. Like, I look at it similarly to 1995 when we came back from the strike. When we came back, we had a three-week spring training. We did our thing. We had, they expanded the rosters a little bit to start the year to take pressure off of pitching staffs and the whole nine yards. And I think all those things were good things. But to me, the big difference was when we were going through that, we still were able to work out. We were able to get together in small groups and do stuff and things like that. These guys can't do that. They can't go to a gym, so they can't work out. You know, the guys who maybe have established themselves in their careers and they have a bigger house and maybe they have a batting cage or they have a weight room or they have a mound or whatever, they're not inviting people over. Their wives, I guarantee you, their wives are saying, look, dude, you're not having that guy over. I don't know where they've been. We've got kids.
Right.
So it's a whole different dynamic in that regard. So it's a lot harder, I think, in this environment for guys to work out and stay prepared. So I think that to me is the unknown. I don't know how well guys are able to do things on their own. So if hypothetically tomorrow they said, hey, let's go back to work, how much time do you need? I don't know. It's a good question, but I would imagine at a minimum you're going to need 3 weeks because you're going to have an opportunity for your starters to at least get out there and extend themselves to 60 pitches at a minimum, maybe 70. And I just don't know how capable guys are of keeping themselves ready that they could do that in a shortened environment.
It is Tom Glavin, guys, Hall of Famer with us. Does a great job doing a broadcasting thing as well. Everybody on lockdown, so we picked Tommy's brain. So let's just hope, like, again, best case scenario, we get back. Pitching staff, Cole Hamels should have had adequate time to get back to rocking and rolling. Felix Hernandez looked like he was going to be the surprise, aside from our regular guys, Faulty and Soroka and Freed. But what do you think the pitching staff's going to look like?
Well, that's a good question. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the silver lining maybe a little bit for the Braves is it gives Cole Hamels an opportunity to get healthy and hopefully not miss much, if any, time now, so you don't have to overcome that. But there's no question there were some guys, I think, in spring training that there's no question this hurt them. You know, I had an opportunity to do a little Skype session the other day with Schnitt, and we talked about some of those things, and you know, one of the things he mentions is you look at a guy, you know, like Kyle Wright or Tuki Toussaint and some of these guys, and he said, you know, you could kind of see that the light was kind of starting to go off a little bit for some of these guys. And now that's kind of wiped clean. So, you know, that's the unfortunate side, part of the unfortunate side of all this. But, yeah, there were some interesting stories, I think, that were starting to develop there at that point in spring training, and Felix Hernandez being one of them. He'd thrown the ball really well. Certainly put himself in the mix, but, you know, the Kyle Wrights and the Tukeys and some of those guys who were getting opportunities too were throwing the ball well too. So, you know, there's so much that's been thrown in disarray, obviously, and it's, you know, it's crazy to think that we're even dealing with some of this stuff, but I guess it's one of those reminders, I think, for all of us that life can change in an instant. And this is certainly one of those instances that I think most of us have never seen in our lifetime and hopefully we'll never see again.
I hope you're right. It's Tom Glavin, guys, Hall of Famer, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. You know, it's funny because you talk about that. And a few months ago, Tom, we were so PO'd on this show and adamant about what the Astros had done and how are we going to get revenge. And I'm not talking about the Braves. I'm just saying, generally speaking, baseball. And, you know, the spring training press conferences were a joke and everybody was ticked off. And I don't know if I heard you express your feelings about how that all went down. You guys won a World Series. You won it fair and square. But when you hear about how that all transpired and the cheating, I just thought the punishment didn't fit the crime, especially when you're talking about the integrity of the game.
Well, I kind of come down a little bit all over the place, to be perfectly honest with you. I 1,000% condone what they did. You know, sign stealing has been a part of the game since day one in the game. Mm-hmm. But it's done on the field. And if you are, as a team, are smart enough to figure out what another team's signs are and what they're doing, and you can gain an advantage by doing that on the field, then so be it. That's fair game. When you start using electronics to gain an advantage, you've crossed the line. Now, unless you want to make those electronics available in both dugouts, then that's a different story. But clearly, in this instance, the Astros were doing something that was not available to their opponents in the other dugout, and that's crossing a line. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not the only team that was doing it. They're the team that got caught,
right?
But there's not a doubt in my mind that they're not the only team that was doing it. So, having said that, that doesn't diminish what they did. What they did was wrong. Now, when it comes to the punishment side of things, that's where it gets a little bit less black and white. You know, I've heard people say, well, the players should be suspended. Well, you're not going to suspend the whole roster of Houston Astros. You're not going to do that. That's going to kill a franchise, and Major League Baseball is not going to allow that to happen. Heck, the other owners aren't going to want that to happen, because they're not going to want to be in a position where there's another team that they've got to foot the bill for financially, because
right.
If you suspend that whole roster, then what team do you have in Houston? Right? And I've heard people say, well, if you suspend some of the guys or whatever, I can promise you that if you suspend some of the guys, then the guys who got suspended are going to raise their hand the minute the next guy didn't get suspended and say, wait a minute, why wasn't that guy suspended? And I guess the biggest argument I heard against all of this, for anything happening, I guess, from the Major League Baseball side, was an article I read to where apparently, and again, I'm just going off of what I've read, that apparently where maybe the legalese comes into play a little bit, Major League Baseball knew something was going on and sent some sort of notification to all the clubs to knock it off. And
right.
Apparently Houston did not communicate that with their players, which immediately gives their players an out. So, you know, as much as Major League Baseball might want to do more, might want to come down harder on those guys, I think there becomes a point, too, where you start to weigh whether or not you have a case or a leg to stand on. And I think Major League Baseball knew they were caught between a rock and a hard place. But all that aside, I just don't think it's feasible that you're going to suspend all 25 guys or all 30 guys or all 35 guys, however many guys were on that roster. I don't think it's feasible that you're going to do that. And I also, like I said, I also feel like if they tried to do it, then the first guy who didn't get suspended, everybody else is going to be raising their hand saying, well, why didn't that guy get suspended? And we all know they're not going to take their trophy away. They're not going to take the championship away. So I think there has been some stuff that I think, you know, is a little bit of, for lack of a better word, guys, you know, people are bloviating about.
Right.
You know they're not going to take away their championship, but I think sometimes it's just people saying things just to be heard when they know that that's not going to happen.
Tom Glavin with his guys, Hall of Famer. Appreciate our rare visit with Tommy right here on Dukes and Bell. All right, real quick, you think Rob Manfred is good for baseball? He gets what he's supposed to be doing?
Well, I do, personally. Look, I've known Rob for a long time, and, you know, I was involved with a lot of negotiations with Rob when he was head counsel for the owners, and I can tell you from my own personal standpoint, I think it says a lot about a guy, for me anyway, when I could sit across from a table from him and maybe not like some of his positions, but at the end of the day, I could respect him and have a conversation with him. So I don't really have anything bad to say about Rob. Again, I think he's caught between a rock and a hard place on this thing. I think it's real easy to point the finger and say, well, you should have done this, this, and this, not knowing legally what he really could and couldn't do. So, but, you know, I think anybody in the game now who's thinking about doing any of that stuff, you know, you're taking it in your own hands, because I think it's become pretty clear that it's not something that's going to be accepted in baseball.
Tom Glavin, always a pleasure to visit with you. We appreciate you jumping on with us, and be safe with your family down there and your kids, man. And we hope to be talking some baseball soon with you.
Yeah, that would be great. You guys stay safe, too. I appreciate talking with you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.